Hey everyone, it's Ariel Helwani, and I wanted to let you know that each and every week I'm part of a great program called the Ringer MMA Show. I host it alongside two absolutely brilliant minds, their names Chuck Mendenhall and Pete Carroll, and every Thursday a new episode drops where we preview the weekend in mixed martial arts and react to all the biggest news. Plus, after every UFC pay-per-view, we give you a post-fight show. So, this is what you have to do. Just follow the Ringer MMA Show on your Spotify app so you don't miss an episode. We'll talk to you then.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new champion!
But I'm better than you,
and you know it!
DMD.
Acknowledge me!
I'm hurt, and I'm old, and I'm tired, and I work with children.
Well, ding dong, hello!
Embrace the vision! And we want the smoke!
Lately, he just hasn't been very oozy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Wednesday Worldwide, a proud member of the faction known as the Ringer Wrestling Show. My name is Ben Cruz, and I'm a producer here at the Ringer. And with me, as always, are my tag team partners, senior editor at theringer.com, Cal Davenport, and of course, the super producer here at the Ringer, Mr. Brian H. Waters. You guys, happy March Madness. Do you guys fill out the bracket? Do you guys do that, filling out the bracket and complaining when it blows up inevitably?
No, I've stopped trying to bash my brains in every year with trying to figure out what college team's going to make it. At this point, I just like seeing everybody go mad with the madness.
I fill it out sometimes. It's been a while since I've been like really invested in college basketball. But I think this year I might do it just because, let's just see what happens. Just to have a vested interest to watch. I'm fully ingrained in WrestleMania season. And then they put out WWE 2K23.
Oh, so, Brian texted us this last night, just casually just said, I got 2K23, and then didn't respond to any of our texts after.
I don't know if he's seen NXT. I don't know what's going
on. Yeah. He was lost.
That's funny.
He was deep in it.
Damn.
Hey, I can have Roman Reigns finally versus The Rock, you know, at WrestleMania.
Brian. Too right. Soon.
That's funny.
I'll tell you what match I did yesterday on a random. Xavier Woods versus Yokozuna.
What?
And as I'm playing the match, it was for the left-right championship.
Of course.
And I won. I was Xavier Woods. And I was like, now I got to do Roman versus Yokozuna. Like, it has to happen. And it made me wonder, would Yokozuna eventually stopped being Japanese had he still been around just so he could be
I think they would have had to have pulled something like with Kofi where like at some point
no longer Jamaican.
It was just gone and then someone makes a comment about it randomly and then you just keep going. Yeah, I think they would have to. They'd have to. Because at some point, I think Yokozuna couldn't be rocking the garb forever. Like going into the Attitude Era, he'd have to be rocking some type of like, big jeans or something like that, some lugs shoes or something like that. Like he would have had to flip his whole style.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the game soon, too. Here's Brian. This is what I want you to do before I get it and let me know if it works. Put Yokozuna in the bloodline.
Okay.
And then just have him do that entrance. Send us a screenshot. I'm just... I'm fantasy booking today, you guys. I'm fantasy booking.
We could run that on Ring of Wrestling Twitter, right?
Yes.
I think that would be fine.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's the graphic right there. Yokozuna throwing up the ones. We are doing it today.
That's amazing.
It's March Madness for real. It's WrestleMania season. And let's kick things off the right way with some high spot headlines. And you guys know the deal. I'm going to read off some of the biggest headlines of the week in the world of professional wrestling. And whoever wants to tag in and let some thoughts fly, let it fly. First up, the big news from yesterday. The Bellas, Nikki and Brie, are no longer working with WWE and have changed their last names. Cal, you were specifically chomping at the bit. To jump in on this. So I'm throwing it right to you.
Well, this is some of the spiciest. This is some of the spiciest gossip that is going on the timeline right now. Because you figure, like, if you take it back to the Raw 30th anniversary, Nikki specifically had a lot of bars for what she felt was, and I mean, what clearly was a lack of, you know, the history of women on Raw and the evolution and everything like that. The Bella Twins themselves, you know, being, you know, properly represented, as well as all the other women that have done amazing things over the 30-year course of this series. But you could tell, like, you've seen the Bella Twins less and less on WWE programming. And you've seen Bryan Danielson just main evented the AEW pay-per-view the other day. I mean, at a certain point, they had to rebrand you. If you're not rocking with WWE, it doesn't make sense to continue to hold on to that name. So I applaud anybody trying, you know, stepping outside of that and working on their own. But the question is, are we going to be seeing the Garcia twins over there on AEW programming? Because I there's two things. One, there's the obvious, you know, Brie, Bryan Danielson, you know. The last thing Danielson said was, I'm going home. So at some point, some vignette's going to have to have, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw her in the mix. But they're also running, what is the squadron of Saraya and Tony, some of the Outcasts?
Right, mm-hmm. right. Yep.
The Garcias, they fit, like, it's an easy couple of, you know, a lead into a pay-per-view storyline. Oh, the Garcias is in the back. You know, they were the ones, you know, telling people to go after, because it's almost like you've got a built-in Scott Hall showing up on Nitro situation. If you want to play that card, I don't know how long something like that lasts, because I don't know how much Nikki or Brie are trying to be involved in pro wrestling at all. But that idea and what that could mean for the future of more, whether it's ex, you know, former WWE superstars or superstars currently jumping ship. And go, that conversation is always fascinating to me, especially since we're like 4 years in or whatever on AEW being an actual living, breathing product. And or I'm sorry, I'm going long, but you know, there's so much when that news hit and the timeline erupted, it's immediately like, you know, there's so many things that can happen. There's so many avenues that they can go down. And it's still WrestleMania season, so all of that can mean nothing, and they can show up at SoFi, you know, and it'll be the biggest April Fool's joke for them. It'll be a big pop. Who knows? But I'm here for whatever this means in the near future.
I love it. I respect the Bella Twins and everything that they've done and all their contributions to the business. When Britt Baker tweeted that, you know, if you're a women's wrestler in this generation, they've had some sort of influence on you. And somebody's like, are you serious?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, it's easy to talk about somebody's wrestling, right? Fine. That's subjective. But you can't deny what they've done outside of the ring. Like Cal was saying, you know, just their whole brand. There's no Total Divas. It's a reason why there was a Total Bellas. Because they were the stars of that show.
Yep.
And they taught other women how to market themselves, not just wrestling, but having their podcast, having their Birdie B brand, which I have one of the sweatshirts, I have to say. Very comfortable.
Oh, wear that on the next show.
Yes.
I would, but it was in a rotation, and I think I wore it a little too close to this show. It was a gift, and it's very comfortable. And I have to say, like, for all that they've doing, yeah, they have had inspiration. It's a reason why they're Hall of Famers.
Yes.
And not Legacy Hall of Fame. You cannot tell the history of women's wrestling without the Bella Twins.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's legs to this AEW connection, right? Because, I mean, on the go-home show on Dynamite before Revolution, I mean, obviously Britt posted her picture recently, kind of paying homage to them, but she also dropped one of their, you know, one of their catchphrases in her promo, you know, as they were kind of building up to Revolution. So there's been teases, and they were also at Revolution.
There was a whole shot of Renee, Nikki, Brie, and Soraya with the kids. I forgot about that. I saw that on Instagram that a couple days later. Yeah. Write it, TK, write it.
It's percolating, and it's sitting right there. And I mean, to Brian's point too, of the mainstream success that they've encountered since, you know, they've kind of stopped wrestling full time has been astronomical. I mean, if you really think about it, right, like their own reality show, their own podcast. Again, my litmus test for how certain wrestlers are over is how my wife's acknowledgement of them.
Right.
And she'll watch wrestling with me. She knows, you know, kind of the main storylines and everything else. But she loves the Bella Twins. I came home one time after I went out to grab dinner. I came home and she was watching the new Bella Twins show on her own accord. It was the one where Nikki's getting married. It was right after an episode of Raw, and she was watching it and asked me to sit the DVR recording. Like, she loves the Bellas, or the Garcias twins, I should say. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they've really carved their own lane, and I'm really excited to see where they kind of go now that they're separating themselves from this Bella Twins name. And you know, it's whether they do end up being back in WWE, because, you know, again, no one's ever really gone, but or if they do end up on AEW, I mean, that's just going to be as compelling as the next thing. So, Artem. That's Nikki's husband's name.
Is she still officially Garcia, or did she take on that last name?
I'm not sure. To me, I mean, I think if they're just she just changed her name back to
Garcia. She took it on.
She did.
The one thing that I loved about the Bella, and it's something that I've learned from speaking with women who are pro wrestling fans, especially of the modern era. You don't realize, like, because they're on E, there was a trickle-down effect of people who watch E who happened to hop on Total Divas and became fans of WWE strictly right. for whatever was going on with them there. So it's interesting to see, you know, how it's worked on both ends, or how Nikki and Brie have been able to work on both ends and really put their stamp on a particular era in pro wrestling.
You know, what else can they... I ain't gonna say what else can they do, but, you know, they recently got inducted in the Hall of Fame. There's uproar about that, but...
Always.
Now, you know, it's cool to see them spread their wings and really use their last name. And I'm gonna give credit where credit is due. Mercedes Bernardo.
Mm.
Showing, hey, I can use my last name. That's what you call a star. Showing the ladies they can do the same thing using her shoot name. Now... You have the Garcia twins. It's going to take us a while to get used to it, but right. It works now than it would have when they got released or they left WWE around like the mid-2010s, around like 2013, 2014. Mm. It works now because they have become such megastars that now rebranding themselves, I think this is good for them. It's good for business.
Longest reigning Divas champion, Nikki right. Bella.
There you go.
Two-time champ. Brie Bella, also champion. So just legends, absolute legends, the Garcia Thanks. Twins. Next up on High Spot Headlines, WWE reportedly is taking notice, and notice is in quotes, underlined, all that good stuff, of LA Knight's babyface reactions. And I think this kind of stems from their recent show at Madison Square Garden. And LA Knight popping. He got some massive pops that night in the Garden. And there's kind of some reports that they're circling a match between him and one Stone Cold Steve Austin. So, I mean, is LA Knight, can we save him at this point? Like, I know the Mountain Dew, pitch black match stink is still, the aura is still around him, but he's doing some solid work to kind of remove that smell from him, if you will.
Right. You never say never. I don't think there's a situation where anybody is that far away from, you know, one good pop turning them into, you know, the next big trend. I mean, hell, look at how quickly Sami Zayn was right. The biggest deal, and now we're, you know, on to what's going on in WrestleMania. LA Knight has the look for, you know, a baby face if they want to go that route. WWE needs to develop some more baby faces. It's always tough on either side when you get into the main event scene. When you talk about injury and tenure and who's actually at that level, you really start to pare back and it always ends up being the same people. And don't let Randy Orton be well and ready and able to start wrestling for 6 months because he'll be right at the top. So, no, yeah, I think it would be, if they're getting that reaction from Madison Square Garden, if they're looking at, you know, just the person, they're looking at their looks, whatever the case may be, yeah, it's great that they, you know, the hope is that they'd be honing on that. And the hard part is then developing the proper character to make it actually work. But, That's the thing that's confusing to me, because they've already seemed like they've dropped the ball hard with the Mountain Dew, and I'm actually kind of surprised he got a pop like that. It doesn't seem like, I'm not saying people have rocked with him, but it doesn't seem like people have been big for him like that. Or am I tripping?
I mean, he's really good on the mic, right? I mean, that's if you can go on the mic, I feel like people will at least halfway buy-in, and he's pretty solid in the ring too. I mean, he's, you know, so I get it. I mean, he's very charismatic. He's got the yeah thing, which is very, it's one of those repeatable catchphrases that the crowd can latch onto. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
It's one of those things. And can you imagine a yeah what type situation at Mania?
Oh, I see it.
You know
it.
What I mean?
It. I see it.
Like that's printing money. Right.
Shout out to you with the Stone Cold hat on the day before 316 day.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah, I'm sewing this under my head for the rest of the week. You know?
Amazing. Or at least for another 24 hours.
At least the next 24. I'm sleeping with this hat on to wake up tomorrow on 316. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
No, just when I think about LA Knight, he's somebody that it's taken me a while to get really buy into. But it's a spot for him on the card, obviously, and he is entertaining. I'm not surprised that people are starting to, like, enjoy him. Part of me thinks, you know, you hear about bad things where after you come from wrestling The Fiend or even Bray Wyatt, that you kind of go on a downward spiral.
The hangover.
Yeah, and it's like, he's kind of recovering. Mm-hmm. And maybe people felt bad for him, but, you know, it made me think this, right? We're looking at this WrestleMania, and if the rumors are true about him and Stone Cold, it's stepping in these dream matchups that people want to see. It's like they're giving us these uplift matches, right? Brock Lesnar and Omos. Even though there's a tie-in to the family lineage, Rey Mysterio and Dominic, it's kind of like legend and the future as opposed to legend and present, which we usually get. It's more like, this is what we want to go through next, but we're going to bring somebody that's way up here and bring you up to another level.
Brian H. Waters.
Brian's all about uplifting.
Nah, that's why I love Brian H. Waters. He sees it. You know what I mean? Like, he stepped back and looked at the entire playing field, said, nah, yeah, that's what it is. But it's funny because AEW, like, if you look at the results of Revolution, and they specifically, a lot of AEW originals are the people that had their hands raised. So it's kind of that time. They need to start building towards the future on both ends. So I if that's what's going on, I love it.
Yeah, and I mean, if Austin is going to put over LA Knight, I mean, I think that would do massive things for Mr. Knight. And I mean, look, I think he would make it. He reminds me of, tell me if I'm crazy, but he reminds me of what I thought
Mr. Kennedy should have been. Like, I was a big Mr. Kennedy guy. Like, the mic coming from the ceiling.
Yeah.
That part is dope.
His mic skills.
Yeah.
It was, like, I was all into it, and he just kind of fizzled out, and I was always bummed by it, right? Obviously, he had his impact run and everything else, but I when he first came on the scene, I was like, oh, he's next. Like, that was, it was one of those things where I thought, but I don't know. I feel like LA Knight's kind of the second coming of him, and hopefully they do right by someone of that ilk. This time around, I don't know. Maybe I'm overshooting that.
I like thought. That. I'm also just more surprised that I found a Mr. Kennedy appreciator. He was supposed
it's lonely
to be
on this island.
He was supposed to be next. I mean, wasn't he destined to be the story was always who's Vince McMahon's secret child. It was supposed to be Kennedy, but then. It was Hornswoggle, but from what I've always heard, it was always like backstage stuff that was holding Kennedy from, you know, really going to where I think people potentially thought he was going to go.
And he's talked about that in some interviews. He did one with my friend and great podcaster, Chris Van Vliet. He was pretty open about that. He was great. We got to get Mr. Kennedy on. On
gotta
the show,
got to get Chris on too. I didn't know that was your peoples. I see Chris out there,
man. That's my guy. Last one here on High Spot Headlines. John Cena, Peacemaker himself, clarified some comments, and he's put it out there. I'm not retiring yet. I think a lot of this came from him posting almost like a tribute or not a tribute, but he was getting emotional after his return to Raw in Boston, and you know, people kind of took his tweet and ran with it and thought, oh, is this match with Theory his retirement match? And he's made it very clear he's not done yet,
man. It's always the timeline stepping in and trying to be Sherlock Holmes. I get it, but like when you do that and then you say Boston, because like first him saying I'm not retiring yet doesn't mean he's about to start doing a program. It just means that you got a couple SummerSlams, you got a couple WrestleManias, maybe, really depending on what his movie schedule and his body is doing. But in a situation like this, like maybe just think about the fact that this may be one of the last times that he wrestles in Boston. You know what I'm saying? Like one of the most emotional pro wrestling videos I saw over the last couple of months was at the end of the Muda Bye Bye show, where it's Muda and Sting and Darby Allin talking to the Japanese press, and Muda's saying his words. He's like, Sting, talk. He's like, Muda's like, this is the last you'll see Muda. And Sting's like, yeah, maybe the last time you see Sting in Japan. Like, because at a certain point in your career, you got to realize maybe, you know, when's the next time Cena might be here for a Raw in Boston, you know what I'm saying? So think about that before you're thinking, damn, they about to announce Rey Mysterio for the Hall of Fame. So, of course, Cena's got to be dipping out, too, because he just put this post up after he repped in his home. Come think.
I can't follow that up. You said it all best. You said it all best.
Cena's 45 now, and I think it's great that there's no sign of him stopping. I just wonder and he has this streak, right, of kind of showing up on TV that is now, I guess, the new streak since Undertaker's streak no longer exists. But
correct. John Cena returning for a SmackDown or a Raw is the equivalent of whenever Undertaker just comes back. Who else would it be? I'm sorry. Keep going.
Right. No, I'm just wondering, like, how much longer do you think he goes? Because, I mean, I don't think he'll ever, you know, formally retire. It might be a Rock situation, right? Rock's never formally retired. He's always kept his connections to WWE and the world of professional wrestling. But it's Hollywood that's taken Dwayne from us. And we that's a whole other conversation that I'm just going to get angry about.
No, but let's be clear. The stuff that built the Cena-Rock feud is now what's been happening to, like, exactly. Cena said it, and I don't know if he was saying it in jest, because there was a lot of truth to it, but now it's not karma hitting him back, because karma is, if my karma could look like whatever his, one of his homes looks like right now, somebody smack me in the head right now. But, you know, the fact that he's now, because I think he can see that, and it's, you can't, There's no way you can debate it. If Hollywood wants you, you got to go to Hollywood.
You got
to
go.
But he's making sure that he's keeping himself in shape. So if the WWE called and said, "Hey, we need somebody to help Austin Theory out. Can you step in for a couple of dates and then step in LA? You're probably going to be in LA anyway. Let's get this going." And he can do it. It's going to be this track until he can't do it for whatever reason anymore.
Well, tell Hollywood, right, leave Roman alone.
Yeah, dude, stay away from Roman. Stay away.
That's where they're coming. They're coming for him next. And we might have to build a barricade around Roman. Jay, Jimmy, Paul, Solo.
Where do they have the Shield flak jackets? We need to put on some of those and just build a wall.
Right. Call in reinforcements. Bring back Seth. Call in Mox. You know what I mean? Let's keep Roman. But I think that's a losing battle. I think Roman's out of here. And rightfully, get that bag. Get that bag, Roman.
And look, the Anoa'i family keep winning. Juicy and Lance Anoa'i just won the MLW Tag Team Championship. So that bloodline is a true strong bloodline.
They're on fire. They're on fire right now. So this is usually where we do They Said What. But I think the other Ringer wrestling shows are starting to catch on because they don't want to be the They Said What subject. So they kind of reeled in the takes this week. But it was actually good timing for it because we actually, we're going to throw to this in a little bit, but we had our first non-Ringer fam interview this week. We interviewed some of the cast of the upcoming Monster Factory docuseries on Apple TV Plus. And, you know, we were during the lead up to those interviews, I was thinking about our conversation that we had with Nadine Smith a couple weeks ago, where she had written, you know, kind of about the state and the status of wrestling documentaries. And so that conversation and her article were in my head as I was watching the screeners, which we got. Can we shout that? We got screeners, guys. We got to see this before everybody.
Shouts out to Wednesday Worldwide, really being worldwide. I mean,
that's right.
Apple TV Plus said, hey, the guys need screeners. But it's funny because I had the same thing. Thinking about the Teddy Hart thing that hit Peacock recently, and a lot of they've been varying levels of quality, and it was good to. And I don't want to spoil because I want y'all, if you have Apple TV Plus, Friday, March 17th, to tap in. It's a great watch, about half hour every episode, not that many episodes, at least from
six episodes.
It would it's really quick. Be a light watch, and if you're a pro wrestling fan, if you want to learn about the behind the scenes of pro wrestling in terms of how the pro wrestler gets made, this is probably one of the best looks at it right now. And it's not sugarcoating anything. I don't want to call it raw because it's not like it's some, terrible story. It's just very real and it's very honest. Mm-hmm. Being able to, shouts out to Danny Cage specifically for, being able to take some time out and talk to us. Cause he's a fascinating person, a very fascinating person to be in that role. I think all of us in behind the scenes saying that we got some heels vibes from, certain aspects of the series was interesting to see too.
I'll tell you this, for me, I've worked in the Jersey area at WSU. Shout out to Missy Sampson, who was in there. Somebody that I literally got to watch her prep a Britt Baker, a Kiera Hogan, a Deonna Purrazzo for matches. And, just passing that knowledge down. So to see everybody on this docuseries and to see, like you said, a real inside look, like I could almost smell the locker room when I was watching this.
That's,
the pro wrestling. Yeah. You can smell the ring. You hear the rock and roll music because that's always playing on an indie show before the show starts. And it's a very accurate look. So I'm really excited for people to get to see this because we all see the finished made product, right? We see Damian Priest, what he looks like now. And Danny's going to talk about that in the interview. Mm-hmm. But, he came through the Monster Factory. And when you see these wrestlers, like, they have these big dreams, but they don't know how to get there. And you see those real life conversations in here. So I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, Brian, you texted us because we all binged it over the weekend to, you know, before we talked with Danny, Danny Cage over at the Monster Factory. And you texted us in the middle of your binge. And you were all in. You're like, yeah, Bobby man. Buffet, that's my guy.
Bobby Buffet. You all watch for, I was, because when he said, I was like, what the hell? Because I hadn't got to it yet.
Okay.
Once,
right.
Once Bobby Buffet hits the screen, you know who Bobby Buffet is. It's such a
your oh life has changed.
Gosh. Oh my your life gosh.
Everyone's life will change once Bobby Buffet enters their lives. And you will all be better for it. He's incredible. But I mean, after watching it, so again, I kind of like hunkered down over the weekend and watched it. And then I saw a lot of chatter about it just from on wrestling Twitter. People are really juiced about it, and rightfully so, because I mean, Cal, you brought this up, and so did you, Brian. But I mean, it's very rare that we get to see, I mean, we hear about all of these guys and girls who are now like on WWE or AEW or New Japan and kind of their, and hearing them talk about their time on the indies and what they had to go through, right? Wrestling in front of 5 people or whatever, 20 people. And then that first time they have to wrestle in front of, you know, 1,000 people or whatever. And this 6-part series really takes you through it, takes you through everything that an indie wrestler is in today, in 2023 anyway, is kind of going through, right? There's some WWE tryout stuff that they reference, some AEW stuff, some extra work stuff that, you know, is, we know as marks is part of the process, but you don't really get to see it. You know, it's, we just kind of see like, oh, we point out when MJF was, you know, that security guard extra that got his ass kicked. So, but to see it and to see what, you know, these names might not mean anything to everyone right now, but like to see like Goldie kind of go through it again, Bobby Buffet, you know, Mimi, these are, and Gabby Ortiz, who we also talked to, you know, again, these will become household names after Friday.
Facts.
And it's going to be, you know, I think that's the other awesome thing about this is that, you know, when you're on the indies, it's really kind of word of mouth and hopefully your coach and maybe YouTube that kind of gets you on the radar of WWE, of AEW, New Japan, Impact, whoever. But hopefully this shines a light on specific, I mean, they kind of, there's, you know, 40, what is it? It's like 40,
it was
50 40 people
some,
in that 40, school?
40 some people, yeah, that were in the class, yeah.
So hopefully at least, you know, the 6 or 7 that are mainly featured in this docuseries kind of get their shine and kind of get their opportunities as well, because it's just really well done. And you'll kind of hear it when we talk to Danny Cage and Gabby Ortiz that, you know, it's kind of life changing for them. And shout out to them because this shit's not easy. And like, it's easy for the three of us, people like the three of us to kind of talk about, you know, oh, you know, this spot was only okay, and this promo was, but like to kind of get there, it's a whole other beast. So it's awesome.
That's why you need. I think that's why it's important that you need people like Danny, because for a lot of pro wrestlers going through various stages, it seems like, I don't want to say they're lost, but they're looking for a place to kind of call home or a place to,
right,
that someone that gets them and can help them, you know, progress. And Danny feels like that guy. Every time I think about Monster Factory, I think of the few times in Beyond the Mat where they show the people who were, and it felt really slimy, like, you know, he's collecting money to have somebody in the ring to, but really it's to attach himself to a talent in hopes that he can then get money when they would get signed somewhere else. Like, you can tell, and I'm not saying that the whole game is like that, because I've heard Lance Storm talk about his academy and they've been able to, you know, have a number of people progress from there, but it's cool to just see somebody who you can tell is dedicated to the continuation of the craft. You know what I mean? Not just getting people in there to become stars, but really making sure that people are doing things correctly and also enhancing their natural talent to become to their fullest potential.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, I think we've teased it enough. Yes. Before we get to our chats with Danny Cage and Gabby Ortiz of the Monster Factory, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
It is now time to welcome to Wednesday Worldwide the first of our very special guests. He is the owner of the world-renowned Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey. He's a coach, a writer, producer, and one of the stars of Apple TV Plus's upcoming Monster Factory docuseries. He is Danny Cage. Danny, welcome to Wednesday Worldwide. How are you doing today?
I'm loving life, man. I'm loving life. It's a busy day, but this is the kind of busy I like. I like doing stuff like this.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. Let's jump right into it. One of the things that's, you know, featured early in the series are some of the names that have come out, you know, of the Monster Factory to sign with, you know, bigger companies like WWE and AEW. And, you know, some of those names, you know, include Matt Riddle, QT Marshall, and of course, you know, legends like Bam Bam Bigelow. Another name that is an alumni, if you will, of the Monster Factory that is currently doing huge, incredible things over in WWE is Damian Priest. And as I was watching the doc and seeing all these up and comers, you know, pursuing their dreams, I couldn't help but wonder, you know, what was that process like for Damian specifically? Because, you know, we see this guy so regularly now on WWE TV, but I mean, what can you tell us about your memories of Damian starting out, you know, at the Monster Factory and his journey to make it now as this huge part of the Judgment Day in WWE?
Well, it's a great story because, like, he was my peer. You know, I wasn't coaching him when I was training. I started in like 98. And he started a couple of years after that, and then QT Marshall too. So it was like me, him, and, you know, QT were like always together. And, you know, we had like Mike Reed and Sheamus was there. We just called him Irish Steve. and, you know, and then like to see him, like we were always boys. I got away from wrestling for a while because I was injured. And then QT went from being this chubby kid to like this in shape dude. And like, I was like, oh my God, this is Mike Kolari. This is, you know, I knew him as Bulldog Mike Kolari. And then to see them all the years later, and then all of a sudden, Damian comes back, you know, Luis comes back and he's helping me. I was like, hey, can you help me coach? I'd really need another coach. And that's when we had the discussion and we got him motivated and he started really working out and really putting the work in and getting that sweat equity. And then, you know, Gerald Briscoe was around and then he got to see him and then he got into Ring of Honor and all this stuff and all these doors started to open. But I'm just going to say this, it wasn't overnight for him, you know, and and just with us, with this show idea came about 2016, you know, they filmed a 16 minute documentary about us, a mini doc, in 2016. So from 2016 till now, we kept saying, this is the year, but we have to keep focused, right. we have to keep focused. But that's exactly what he did too. He wasn't just worried about like, this person won't sign me or this person won't sign me. He's like, no, I got work to do and I'm going to put in the work and then someone's going to find me. And that's what we did. And it's just so cool to see him. Like I'll text him. Like you'll see, actually not in the show, but in interviews and stuff, I talked about once a student gets signed, I don't bother them anymore. They would probably never hear from me again other than to like check on them like, hey, what's up? Because I know that when they're there, they're going to have everybody checking in on them, everybody in their head.
Right, right.
I did my part. This is their part to figure out their journey. I'll be there for support, but I'm not going to be like, hey, did you do this? You should do that. Hey, you should. No, my part's done. We're peers now. And that's what happened when, you know, we have students right now getting signed and stuff. They're like, what happened? Did you just use me? And I'm like, no, I'm a coach. You are out on your own. I am not your mother or father. And even a mother and father, if you're on your own, you're on your own. It's just to check in. You cannot mature if you're being babysat your whole life. And that's like the cool part about like everything we got going on at the Monster Fight right now. It's a family. It's awesome. And I see Damian out there killing it with the Judgment Day. QT doing his stuff with Hobbs. I mean, I can't be happier, man.
Yeah.
We got our stuff going on here. Right. We're hitting on all cylinders. WWE, AEW, Apple TV+, please.
Well, I'm glad you said, because the first thing when I was watching the way you were treating the students, the way you were talking to the students, you know, there was a lot of like, you know, there's no bullshit. You felt like I saw the father figure, you know, to the 40 plus kids running around. But I was wondering, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, this is really a process that started back in 2016. I'm wondering, back then, were you ever kind of trepidatious in regards to even having the cameras come into the factory? Never at all. Never. What?
I don't care. I think the whole idea of kayfabe is stupid. Okay. Here's my take on kayfabe. Kayfabe only should work like the only time wrestling is real, in my opinion, is once you walk into the building and it ends when you leave the building. Like, that's it. It's just like in a movie. Like, did you guys watch the Oscars last night?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't see Brendan Fraser going up on stage dressed as the whale.
True indeed.
Why wasn't he selling his injuries? I thought he died. Spoiler alert. You know, come on.
It's amazing. Seriously.
So like that's what's stupid about wrestling. It makes you embarrassed to be a fan sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. Like nobody, I always say this. You go to a bar, go ask somebody to put wrestling on. Watch the feedback you get. Now, if you tell them, I want to watch curling, I want to watch poker, or I want to watch darts, oh, sure, I'll put it on. You say you want to put wrestling on, they give you looks. You have wrestling on this TV, and if you have Scarface on this TV, nobody is saying, that's not Tony Montana, that's Al Pacino.
Right.
And he's not even Cuban.
Right.
He's not even, and that's not even real cocaine. That's baby powder or some stuff. Right. This is, and they're not shooting each other. This is stupid. But you put wrestling on. Oh, this is phony. I mean, they might be great athletes, but this is phony bullcrap. I mean, look at that. Look at this. And it's embarrassing. And that's because fans are being made to believe it's real. Like the bookers and all want to be like, no, it's real. These aren't characters. This is them. And it's silly. present them as what they are. They're athletes. They're actors. This is theater with punches and kicks and stuff like that.
Danny, in the series, people learn that not only are you a husband and a father, but as far as the Monster Factory, you're a coach, producer, writer, video editor. What kind of advice could you give to somebody who has a family who wants to be a coach and all the other roles that you have?
Well, I am extremely lucky, but also extremely calculated. I made sure I found the right woman. She was with me when I was a wrestler back in like 1999. We met in 2000. So I was still wrestling. And, you know, I was lucky. Like most women would not allow, I had a 6-figure job working for the phone company, great money. And I left it all behind for this, and it's not a guarantee. So my main thing is find someone who will fight and let you live your dreams, you know, and that's what I got lucky with. And then just never give up, man. I don't sit there and try to convince anybody around me that this dream is real that I'm doing, you know, that this is, I really mean it. I really am going to do this. No, I just go out and do it. Too many people are trying to please other people. Just learn by just focusing on yourself and then take care of other people as you go. That's what I would say. Also, start small, you know, see if it's for you. Start with just a little bit. Start on side projects and side hustles on your own. Don't quit your job yet. You know, I tell everybody, I pimped the pimp. I was working for a big phone company, and I knew I was leaving, and I knew that we were going on strike soon, and I knew they were going to offer me money for a buyout. So I built the Monster Factory on the company's dime. I was building the website while I was climbing telephone poles. I was in the crawl spaces doing things, and I was making contacts. I was scheduling birthday parties. I was lining everything up. Then I walked away when they presented all that money to me. And I just left, and I haven't looked back, and it's the greatest decision I made. But here's the thing. When I left, I had people walking out the door with me going, I can't believe you're going to be on food stamps in 3 weeks, and ha, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And now they'll all be watching my show. And I won't be mad at them because they're validated. The reason they doubted me, it's valid, because most people don't follow through with their dreams. I do. So I'm not going to say, like, hey, you were stupid. I'm going to say, thank you for doubting me. Now, what do you think? You know, and I'll be their friend. I'm not going to hold a grudge, because when someone's wrong, if you don't let them be right, like come back and make good on it, then what's the sense of ever admitting you were wrong in the first place?
Indeed. Indeed.
Right. Right. And before we get you out of here, Danny, we just wanted to know what, in the current wrestling space, like what storyline has you really, really locked in now as a fan? I mean, obviously you're very much in the trenches, kind of coaching up the next generation of superstars. But when you're watching every week, and there's so much content out there, there's so much. What's the one thing that has you locked in?
The Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns stuff is top tier writing. There are so many possibilities. Here was the way I thought it was going. I wanted Sami to be the heel and turn on Roman. I wanted Roman.
Okay.
I wanted Sami and Jimmy to be in cahoots with Solo. And then I wanted to be Heyman and Roman and Jay. That's what I wanted. But because the way I looked at it, Sammy's so talented, he can be a heel and a babyface at any time. Roman is perfect at what he's doing now. Let him. And he's so over. He's a babyface. The entire crowd yells, acknowledge me. That's a babyface. Yeah. So I think like Sami should have stabbed him in the back. But who knows? It could still be happening. Because I still say that Jay and Sami are in cahoots. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be Jimmy, but I still say they're in cahoots. Something's going on.
I love that.
I like this. I like this conspiracy theory. I'm with it. Danny Cage, thank you so much for joining us here on Wednesday Worldwide. The three of us really, really enjoyed the series. We can't wait for everyone else to enjoy it as much as we did. We were texting the hell out of each other all weekend as we were binging it. Everyone, make sure you check out Monster Factory on Apple TV Plus. It drops this Friday, March 17th. Start your St. Patrick's Day weekend off the right way by crushing this series. Danny, thank you again. We really, really appreciate it.
You got it, brother. Thank you. Also, Ted Lasso. Boom, boom, boom.
It is now time to welcome our second special guest to Wednesday Worldwide, our first ever two-time, two-guest episode. She has wrestled all over the world and is also one of the stars of Apple TV Plus's upcoming Monster Factory. She is Gabby Ortiz. Gabby, welcome to Wednesday Worldwide. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here and I'm happy to talk about our show. This is the best.
Absolutely. We saw a lot during the series that there's this level of vulnerability that you have to be open to participate and be involved in documentaries like this, and it almost runs parallel to the level of vulnerability I feel like you need to be open to when you decide to pursue being in professional wrestling, right? Because you're really putting yourself out there, from the jump. You know, the feedback you get from the crowds and your coaches is based on your work is so instantaneous. And now that you're versed in both the kind of documentary making process and the wrestling business, which aspect do you feel more vulnerable in as you were kind of going through it?
Honestly, I went in there with like a nothing to lose, everything to gain mentality. I was ready to just be an open book and put it all out there. This was a once in a lifetime opportunity and I wanted to just be my most authentic self in this, right, in this series. And I wanted people to know that they can be brave and vulnerable and show sort of the nasty sides of life and can still come out of it like a champion. And that this business, just because it's fake and the matches are predetermined or whatever it is, there's very real people behind these characters, right, in these matches.
One thing I like seeing out of you in the series with your drive, there's one, the comment you talk about, wanting to be the first woman who was signed from the Monster Factory. I was wondering for you, I don't want to speak for the fellas, but I know a lot of us as pro wrestling fans these days, we are very into women's pro wrestling and specifically the evolution of women's pro wrestling over the last decade and change, depending on how long people have been watching. But how important for you when you were first starting to try and find a place to learn about pro wrestling was the Monster Factory and how they dealt with women? Did that come into play at all? Were there any women that were there that you kind of leaned on to, or any experiences that you had there that kind of spoke to,
Danny always documented training and tryouts and who were the current students at the factory, at the Monster Factory at the time. So I knew there were a couple girls there. Mm-hmm. And immediately when I got there, I was automatically being compared to another Puerto Rican female wrestler there named Vanette, who is still a very good friend of mine to this day and also continuing to wrestle. And then when I met Danny and talked with him, when I decided I wanted to train, he didn't speak to me like a fragile girl. He spoke to me like an adult human that was coming into a really tough business. And he spoke to me in a very candid and upfront way about his expectations of us. And he mentioned, and it's so weird because we talk about this now in hindsight where he's like, yeah, we talked about, our viewpoints on drugs or painkillers and things like that, and how he just doesn't find that acceptable with his students. And he said he never talked about that with any other students, but he talks about it with me. And if you've seen the show, you know that that's something my family has had a really deep personal struggle with. So at that moment, it was beyond gender. It was beyond sexuality. And it was just human. And that is when I decided that this was where my home was going to be. That's awesome. And I think I made a pretty good decision.
Indeed. No, indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
Gabby, I've been a fan of yours for years. And one of the things I can appreciate is you participating in this. What does it mean for you to have a long career and to be able to be in this docuseries and heavily featured? What does that mean to you personally?
Of everything I've done in my career, Stardom in Japan, AEW, WWE Extra Work, my WWE tryout, working for Ring of Honor. This I might get a little emotional. This is the most important thing I think I've ever been a part of in this business, because it is so authentic and it's so me and it's so everybody that was showcased in it. And I'm so freaking proud of it, because I was in a little bit of a lull of my career when we started filming this. And I wasn't sure what my next step was in this business. And I think a lot of wrestlers who watch this show will relate to that. And a lot of people just in general who watch this show who have had careers and have had dreams and have been creative will be able to relate to those peaks and valleys of their own industry and their own lives. And it was just, I'm just so unbelievably proud of what we've done and what we're putting out there. It's not something that I would ever be ashamed of. And I will show it to my children and my grandchildren, you know.
Indeed. Hey, it's one thing. It's actually amazing to see series like Monster Factory on right now at a time where when I was a kid, I'd never dreamed that there was so much pro wrestling and so many different ways to learn about what's going on in the industry right now. And I'm wondering, you know, before we get, because I know our time is running short, Gabby, but before we get out of here, is there any storyline anywhere across the vast stream of pro wrestling that has the most of your attention right now?
Anything Eddie Kingston does, I'm tuning in. I love that guy. He doesn't want to hear it, but I think he's fantastic. And I think I love him because he is authentic, and him and I have had good conversations, and I'm not going to get into it because he don't want to know. He don't want people to know that he's actually a good dude. where him and I were so different, but we relate to things so much because he is so authentic and he's had his struggles and he is relatively open about those things and how he brings it into the ring. And yeah, I anything he does, I'm tuning in because of that authenticity.
Awesome. I love that. Gabby, thank you again so much for joining us here on Wednesday Worldwide. You were awesome in the series. You're awesome in the ring. We can't wait for everyone else to see this part of your journey and can't wait to see where the rest of your career takes you. You've got three massive fans here at Wednesday Worldwide, and we're rooting for you the rest of the way.
Indeed.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, and before we get out of here, let's hit on last night's NXT and tonight's upcoming Dynamite. First up, let's kind of go through NXT. Let's each pick the one thing that stood out to us, and we'll see which one we wanna dive into a little deeper. Cal, kick things off for us. What was your biggest NXT takeaway?
It's not a particular match. It's just the state of women's wrestling in NXT. I'm a fan.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Brian, what do you have?
Oh, that's a good one. Johnny G, man. I'm sorry, but Candice LeRae, you ain't fight for your man. I'm going to just leave it at that.
Oh, man.
I had the Grayson Waller Gargano angle as my thing too. I'm a fan of a good wrestling home invasion. I think they're funny every time. But to Brian's point, if I'm getting my ass kicked outside the house for the neighbors to see, and my wife doesn't help out at all.
Yeah, like, do something. Yeah,
you know, throw a chair.
Throw a chair. You know,
throw me a weapon so I can defend myself.
Swing the broom or something. Yeah,
I understand she had the baby. It's probably a tough situation. Candice LeRae, also a professional wrestler.
Right.
So, fully equipped to deal with this type of situation. No, but I do want to talk about the Roxanne Perez and women's wrestling part of this, Cal, that you brought up.
Mm.
I mean, so last week when Brian sent her well wishes, it was like the most genuine thing. And that's why I love Brian, because he's just so genuine with everything. He's like, I hope Roxanne's okay. And meanwhile, everyone on the internet's like, what a work. You know what I mean? But they're really milking the hell out of this thing, right? Like HBK teasing, you know, that she might not be able to make it to Stand and Deliver. They had a doctor on NXT last night, which I'm not sure if he's a real doctor or I definitely want to see a certificate to see that this man went to medical school.
Know, Jim Ross used to always call Dr. James Andrews, and he was a shoot doctor.
He was an actual legit doctor, man. He had a whole thing on the wall and everything. I love I that moment. Because I know, Ben, I hear you a lot of the timeline says, don't be stupid. You know, it was just a pro wrestling match. But there are pockets of the internet who, to the point where there had people, I will not name names, but they came up to me and they were like, so what's going on with Roxanne Perez?
And I'm like, Brian H. Waters?
No. Nobody that works or is affiliated with The Ringer and or Spotify.
I'm already in Kaz's NGLs. People asking, you know, who's the bigger mark, me or Stack Guy Greg? And I'm just scrolling the timeline. I'm like, that's my name.
That's my name, right? They
forgot the H, though. Next time, at me and put the H.
That's how we know you're not real. If the H ain't there, you're not real.
Yeah, if they're not putting the H in there, they're not a real fan.
But, I mean, they're doing a very good job with making people stay invested with what's going on with Roxanne. And I think that is going to work wonders for Roxanne as a strong and triumphant champion. I hope we're going to be working with her overcoming a lot of adversity right now while getting a little dirty. This is dirty. Bron Breakker is getting dirty like this. Imagine Bron Breakker gets jacked up. If it was like old school NWA, I was just watching when they broke, when the Horsemen locked the cage in the Omni, they jacked up Dusty Rhodes in the middle of that ring. They were crying for that man. If you had a bunch of people descend on Bron Breakker, his legs in the cast, you might get some grown women crying next week. Some grown men too. I don't know.
I think it makes sense to build this multi-person match this way, as opposed to just kind of, you know, I guess Sean could have assigned these qualifying matches, right, and just kind of built it to Roxanne. But now that there's this kind of cloud on whether Roxanne can even participate, it's interesting. I'm about it. And if it puts, you know, more spotlight and more shine on, you know, who qualified last night. Zoe Stark qualified last night, and Gigi Dolin. So, and there's going to be more who fill in those spots. So if it kind of gives them that shine leading into Stand and Deliver, I'm all about it.
Man, we know Shawn Michaels. He's been regurgitating a lot of his stories.
Yeah.
And as y'all sitting here bringing this great conversation, I just thought about something. What if we get Roxanne with an edge? She comes back with a belt after they do the whole ladder climbing.
Yes.
With a belt.
Yes.
And she has to face the winner
in a ladder match. And they put
both belts up there so they can regurgitate WrestleMania 10. Like, it works. We know this because we lived it, right?
Right.
But for the 18, 19, 20 year olds that didn't live it, they only seen the story, like they only seen the finish.
Thank you.
I wouldn't hate it. I'm going to still make fun of it for fun. You know, like, all right, here's HBK, you know. I'm saying Bron Breakker, he's probably going to lose his smile soon.
No, facts. But Brian H. Waters, I think you're right, and I think you need to progress, because it's not just that they're regurgitating it. I think at a certain point, new pro wrestling fans need this.
Mm-hmm. There's history lesson.
They need, you gotta understand and think about it. Right now, how many like specifically original storylines have you seen in pro wrestling? Like where you saw it, what, because even NWO, for as groundbreaking as that is, Eric Bischoff was like, nah, I was over in Japan and I was seeing a lot of these interpromotional, you know, wars that were going on between the federations. And I thought, damn, that could work in WCW. Like at a certain point, what did Nas say? No idea is original. There's nothing new under the sun. Like you have to go back. If they call it a greatest hit for a reason, it's always going to hit. Mm-hmm. The kids today just need to see that, and hey, do it as close to the, I want to see the top being what happened in the 90s and the bottom being what happened in 2023. Ooh. And I would love to see it go, you know, bit for bit. Because at the end of the day, this is what pro wrestling is. Nature Boy Ric Flair was Nature Boy to us. Nature Boy Buddy Rogers and that, like, you know, he was been doing that stuff. And Nature Boy Ric Flair wasn't even the only Nature Boy at the time. Like, at a certain point, it's okay, because this is what pro wrestling does. It eats itself and then it spits it back out. You just have to make it look dope for the modern era and have dope, talented people do it. But the key is, you just have to make sure that you're working with the times. So if it's not a barbershop window because there's not a guy with hedge clippers, you know, doing this before his wrestling match, you get the woman that, you know, her gimmick is ding dong. There's a door. Someone can almost kind of get kicked through it or kicked into it. But, I mean, you change it up a little bit, but these things are going to hit. So let the man, that's why he's there with the pencil.
Yeah.
It's true. I can't wait till he recreates the screw job though, and just sets the internet on fire. So wait for NXT Montreal.
I'll say
until it's Carmelo Hayes.
Oh God!
That'd be painful. Oh
wait, yeah. The problem is, what? Because I don't want to see somebody sticking the flag in somebody's nose. Like, yeah, do the screw job, but cut the stuff that is a little too.
Yeah.
1997.
Like you said, with the times.
Yeah. Stay with the times.
Yeah. Just do the sharpshooter and then ring the bell. That's enough reference. That's the only reference that I need. Looking at tonight's AEW Dynamite, what's the one thing that you're looking forward to most? Mr. Brian H. Waters, kick it off for us.
Oh, shoot. You know, it's like, I'm really looking forward to this MJF celebration, right?
The rebar mitzvah?
Yeah, I just don't understand why we gotta wait. Like, he wins a match and then we gotta wait another week. Why can't we just get it the media? Like, to me, pro wrestling is you watch the pay-per-view, or if you miss the pay-per-view, you can't wait to tune into the next show for the follow-up. But we're gonna get it. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, Cal, what do you have?
I'm gonna throw a curveball, and the thing I learned this week, it's probably going to be the debut of QT Marshall's QTV. Marshall. Only because I'm hoping that our new AEW TNT champion, Powerhouse Hobbs, is all over that thing, screaming about whatever town he's in and hating it because he's not back in Oakland.
That's right. Shout out to Powerhouse Hobbs, representing the Bay Area extremely, extremely well. I'm actually looking forward to a match this week, guys.
Oh!
on AEW. I'm looking forward to this trio's championship match, little triple threat trios championship match. Obviously, you know, we got House of Black, the Elite, Jericho Appreciation Society. That's nine dudes who can go. So that should be a banger. Obviously, you know, they're in Winnipeg this week, right? So
yeah, you know,
Jericho and Omega, kind of little homecoming there. So that'll be a hot crowd. I'm really into that. So
here's the thing: what are the chances Renee Paquette challenges Jade since she was looking for a Canadian lady?
I shouts out Renee, stay out of that ring. I don't know what Jade's going to do. I don't know what she's liable to do. And if that bell sounds and Renee's in there, I would be very upset if Renee got hurt. So I hope it's not her.
I hope it's KC Spinelli from the Indies. But, you know, I saw her, she was kind of looking at Renee. I'm like,
If Renee could just hit a little roll up, little schoolboy, and just steal the title and get the hell out of there.
We're getting the flak jackets and we're building a wall around Renee Paquette.
Protect her at all costs.
I'm sorry, JB.
Protect her at all costs.
There's got to be some well qualified women in Canada who could pro wrestle that can take that match. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out, because if Renee ends up as the new champion, as the new TBS champion tonight, we might have to do an emergency pod. Just to follow up.
Twitter
would break.
Guys, that is how you do freaking Wednesday. Be sure to check out our other Ringer Wrestling Show offerings, because we are coming to you every single day of the week. We've got the Masked Man Show with David Shoemaker and Kaz on Mondays and Thursdays. We've got Cheap Heat on Tuesdays and Fridays with Peter Rosenberg and Stat Guy Greg, and of course, Dip. And you'll find Wednesday Worldwide smack dab in the middle on, you guessed it, Wednesdays. If you are not already, be sure to follow us, subscribe, and hit us with those 5-star ratings. here on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. Cal, Brian, tell the people where they can find you on the socials.
At Cal on Twitter, at Cal Double Instagram, if you prefer.
At Brian H. Waters on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
Don't miss the H, people. People missing the H are really disrespecting our guy, Brian H. Waters. And Cal and I will not stand for it. So we're just putting that out there. At Cruise Control for myself, Control with a K, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. Gentlemen, as always, thank you for the Graps chat. Everyone else, we will catch you next week.
Worldwide!